Amen. Julia?
Well, good morning. Oh, is this water for me? Thank you. Why, I thought I was taller. Well, thank you again for having me with you this morning. Again, I always like coming to Curtis. And again, I just say you guys have a place in our heart, my wife and I. She is not able to be with us today. She wanted to come. Unfortunately, she got ill last night with a sore throat and head congestion, just kind of came up quick. And so she decided to stay home, unfortunately, with the girls. But my son and I, we're here today to have fellowship with you. So, again, thank you for having me with you here today. You know, I had a topic here, something I've studied on. But something I'd like to share with you. I think there's some great insight to a particular man we're going to talk about this morning, and he's found in Luke chapter 18. If we could turn there. While we're turning in our Bibles, if we could pick up the red hymnal, and I think it's 30, I hope it's 32. Is it 32? No. Where's Amazing Grace at in this, the red hymnal? Amazing Grace. What song is that one? 37, maybe?
Three thirty-two,
Amazing Grace?
Yes.
Okay. 332. It is really one of my favorite hymns, but you'd think I'd know where I could find it. But 332, Amazing Grace. And in that first stanza, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's a great stanza, a great line when you read the words and really just ponder what the writer's saying about, the songwriter's saying. Was blind, but now I see. And we're going to talk about a guy who was blind and did receive his sight. And his name was Bartimaeus. And it's a guy that, as I've studied him, a guy I've learned to really like and appreciate. And I want to share some insight about this man. Through God's word and what he's revealed to us regarding him. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. I'll go ahead and read this to get familiar with the text. And it says, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried all the more, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want from me, or what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So we're going to look at 3 points regarding Bartimaeus. We're going to look at 3 things that we can see about him that God reveals in his word. And we're going to, as we study this, we're going to understand the person of him. And I think we're going to come to an appreciation of really who Bartimaeus is. Regarding this section of scripture, the other gospels, Matthew and Mark also give an account of this event taking place. However, Matthew's account shows two men that were blind and came to the Lord and asking for sight. But for some reason, here we see in Luke, he's focused on just Bartimaeus. And I think we'll come to a conclusion why possibly that could be. So, blindness. We think about blindness, about being blind. You know, what would it be like to have total darkness, right? Now, there was a survey that was done. You could probably Google it. You know, Google's like a really cool tool. You can find all kinds of information. But of all the senses that we have, you think about hearing, and you have sight, and you have smell, and touch, and of all the senses that we have, the five senses, there was a poll that was taken of all the senses, which one would you least want to lose? And sight, by far, was the greatest. Didn't want to lose sight. And so here is a man, Bartimaeus, who did not have that sense. Didn't have a sense of sight. So he was in a world of really of total darkness. And so because of that, you know, obviously times are much different today. We have technology and different things that people who have this sense that they can't see, who have blindness, that are able to still be productive in the workforce. So back in those days, it was very difficult to earn a living. And so here's Bartimaeus. Every day, because of his blindness, he had a life of begging. And so he would go by the street. He'd go out there every day, and that would be where he would make his money. That was his job, to go out to the roadside. And so when we go into the roadside, there's a couple things that road would provide for him. Because as the scripture says, it says that as Jesus was going into him, that there was this man, and he sat by the road begging. That verse 35. There he was sitting, because he knew the road served two purposes for him. One was money. That's where he can make a living from, right? Couldn't do anything else, but he can make a living. He can ask for people if they could give him a couple coins, a dollar, whatever it may have been, that they could spare something for him so he can buy himself some food or whatever it may have been, something that he could use to consume or to help in his livelihood. So it was used for that particular purpose. But also the road, sitting by that road, would also serve as his news. You know, what was happening that day, or what was happening in the world around him. He couldn't see it, so he wasn't really able to really interact in it. But as he sat by the road, he would hear, you know, piece of people possibly having a baby. Or he could hear possibly a wedding. Or he could hear about, you know, the oppression of the Roman government at that time and what it was doing on the people. Right? He's been hearing all these things. So not only was it for his money, to be able to get money, he also sat by the road to get news. It was kind of like the CNN of his time. Okay? But like in a sense, hearing all these things that was happening, life was really passing him by. Because there he was sitting on the side of the road, while he's hearing life and the things of life and things that are happening in people's lives, all the current events that were going on, just passing him by. You know, sometimes that we begin, as far as a Christian, I know this in my life, sometimes I'm blinded by the fact that I lose sight of certain things. You think in Bartimaeus' situation, he's a man who could be very frustrated, and he'd have good reason for that. You know, why would this happen to me? Or think about, having playing the pity game or things like of that nature. And that could be understandable. But, you know, sometimes I see how, you know, even in my own life, I look at of how I lose sight of things, right, that I'm blinded by things. I look at the world today, how it constantly, as we read things in the news or, we hear things that happen in government or laws that are being passed down, is that we have lost the sight of God within our lives, within our community, within our schools, within our courtrooms, all these things. And so here Bartimaeus, is blind, the things he's going through. And one thing that I'd like to share is that, and I didn't bring it with me, but I do have a prayer book at home, and often, I don't fill it in as often as I should. But sometimes that I get blinded by the fact that God's blessings that has been that he gives to me. And I've had this prayer book. I know some of you may know Mike Antos, and he had this the suggestion years and years ago about having a little book and writing in this book about something you've prayed about and then how God answered it. And I've done that. And again, I haven't been, you know, religious about it or anything, or putting every item in there that I've prayed for. However, looking back at that book periodically, it's amazing to see how God answers prayer. And when I've recently looked at it again and opened that book up and looked at how all the entries I had in there, there was only two that was still left open. After all these many years, and the book's got to be about 4 years old, you know. It's amazing that God answers prayer. So let's not be blinded by the fact that, you know, that even though we go through a hard time, whatever troubles we may have, that we don't fall into the blindness of forgetting that God is still with us and that he hears us. And so that was Bartimaeus' situation. We all have a situation that blinds us sometimes. You know, you hear that comment, oh, I was blindsided by that. You know, we don't see it coming, right? We all have some things in our lives that come upon us. You know, I call it the curveball. You know, some of us have a little baseball or football, little, you know, connections to it. But, you know, we get a curveball thrown at us once in a while. But don't be blind by the fact that God doesn't know about it and is able to do something about it if we seek him. So here's Bartimaeus. And that was his situation, blind, sitting by the side of the road, and that's what he did. So that was his situation. But let's look at something with Bartimaeus about his determination. And so he's sitting by the roadside, doing what he does daily, and he begins to hear noise of a crowd, right? People passing by, but something a little bit different than probably what he's heard in most cases. He hears that within this crowd is Jesus of Nazareth, right? And so in 36 through 39, he talks about, it covers that, and it says, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So he says, you know, I hear a big crowd coming. I hear a lot of footsteps here coming in my direction. What's this all about? What's going on? And so the people who were with him, who were following Christ, said to him, talking to Bartimaeus, that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. So I don't know what he knew is regarding Jesus. I think he knew more than probably most people. Because he's the guy who's got his ear to the road. He's hearing the things that are going on. And so he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is in his midst. He's within that crowd that's passing him by. And so he cries out saying in verse 38, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then in verse 39, then those who went before him warned him, hey, you should be quiet, be quiet. But then he said all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's determined to get God's attention. He wants the attention of this person, Jesus of Nazareth. And I think there's a good reason for this. I mean, not only probably did he hear of the many miracles that Jesus did. You know, he's hearing the chatter up and down that roadway. But he has a name in which he calls Jesus that really, he calls him that you don't find anybody else really calling him this. And that is the Son of David. Very interesting. And so he vigorously cries out to him. He is determined to get Jesus' attention. And so in other accounts of the scriptures, you see that the people who were there were trying to, you know, have him be quiet. As you see here, you know, hey, you know, listen, be quiet. You know, don't be yelling for him. And all the more, he is determined to get after him. He is determined to get Christ's attention. He is determined to stand before him and talk to him. And why? Because he has an understanding that maybe others didn't. You know, as I because of my work situation, that sometimes I travel, right? And talk about determination. There was a great illustration of it when I was in the airport. I was in Chicago Airport, and the place is packed like usual. And so I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm waiting to, you know, for my plane to get, you know, to get ready, get boarded on the plane and whatnot. And I saw this family. There was a husband and a wife, and they had two small children. But they had this little girl. And this little girl was, they have like these long, like, escalator sidewalk. I don't really know what to call them, what the proper name would be. But you stand on it, and it'll zoom you across the terminal a lot faster than walking, right? Well, this thing is loaded with people. Well, once this little girl actually got on that thing, it was like a circus ride for her. And so she is, you know, getting on one end, the thing is zooming her across the terminal, and she get off and zoom the other way back and get off and get back on and back and forth. Well, you know, there's hundreds of people taking this sidewalk way, you know, to get from one side of the terminal to the other. But it didn't stop her. It didn't matter how big that person was, how many people were in her way. There were suitcases twice the size of this little kid, right? But she was determined to work through that crowd to get back on that thing and to just have a nice little joyride back and forth. And so that, you know, like that determination, Bartimaeus had the same determination. He was working his way through the crowd to get to Jesus. And so he says this thing about the Son of David, and this is where I think that we see some things about Bartimaeus of why he was so determined. Because he calls him Son of David, a very unique name. Okay? Those who are following Jesus say, this is Jesus of Nazareth. He says, you know, yeah, this is Jesus of Nazareth, but this is the Son of David. And this goes back to the scriptures in the Old Testament regarding the Son of David and who he would be. He was going to be that eternal king that would come and sit on that throne. That King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is that one whose title fits to, and only him. That is the one, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who can carry that title. And so Bartimaeus saw Jesus for who he was. And that, yes, he was Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, he was a man who did miracles. Yes, he was a man who spoke wisdom and spoke with authority. But he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. This is the chosen one. This is the Son of David. This is what we read about in the text. And so Matthew in chapter 12 and verse 23, you know, when Jesus was doing miracles, the people even asked themselves, you know, looking at the miracles that Jesus was doing, they started to scratch their heads at one point in the scriptures and say, is this the Son of David? They begin to think about this. Is this the one that this Old Testament scripture spoke of? Or let's turn to, I think it's Matthew 22. Let's turn to Matthew 22. Verses 41 through 46. And so here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, talking about what the Messiah would be like. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Right? He's bringing it right out on the table. Okay, let's just cut through the chase. Regarding the Christ, the one who's going to come, this Messiah, whose son is he? And they said to him, the Son of David. Right? The Son of David. And then he said to them, well, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare to question him anymore. All right, at this point, they were trying to get the tongue twister with Jesus. They were trying to make him say something, or they tried to, baffle him with their own wisdom. But Jesus brings it right out. Who is the Christ? Let's talk about this. Because that was the question. Who is he? They said, well, he's the son of David. This is exactly the title that Bartimaeus is saying. He's saying, you're the son of David. You're the Christ. We can recount the event when Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he says to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say, you know, some say that you're John the Baptist. And some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're one of these old prophets that have come back. And then he asks this direct question to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the chosen one. You're the son of David. That's where they're getting at when they say you're the Christ. And so Bartimaeus here says to him, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And see, even though Bartimaeus was blind, he didn't have physical sight, he had spiritual insight. He saw more about Christ than probably everyone on that road in that particular time. You know, Julio's opinion. But Bartimaeus seen a lot more of who Jesus is than, again, probably most of the people who were following him at that time. So now let's look at, so he was the determined man. And we can see why. Because he knew who Jesus was. Now we want to look at his dedication. This man was dedicated. And so let's read on from verse, basically 40 to the end of the chapter, verse 43. And so Bartimaeus is yelling for him, son of David, son of David. He's calling out to Christ. And this is what really gets me here. And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Now understand this. Of all the events that are taking place, now we're getting near the cross. Right? Jesus worked many miracles, many teachings. He's talked to the crowds many, many times. And now it's getting more towards the end of the ministry. He's getting near the cross now. This account of Bartimaeus is the last man that we read in Scripture that's healed before the cross. And so, here's Jesus, and think about what's happened, what compassion that the Lord Jesus has on us. And you look at the situation here with Bartimaeus, what he has for Bartimaeus. And actually for the other blind man too that's accounted in Matthew. But again, we're sticking just focusing on Bartimaeus here this morning. Here is Jesus getting near the cross. It's getting closer and closer. And here is a man crying out to him, son of David, son of David. I mean, when I am at work and I have a lot of things on my mind and I get a phone call and they go, you know, or somebody comes in the office and, hey, I got to talk to you about this or whatever. I was like, listen, not now. I have way too much in my mind right now, okay? Come back to me at a better time that, you know, that I can handle this. Here's Jesus getting closer to putting upon himself the sins of the world. And it says that he hears the one crying out to him and he stands still. And I think about that. And that God stands still for us. That he, when he hears us, he stands still. It's like of everything he has in his mind, he stops to hear us. That's amazing. That is a compassionate God that we have. And I hope it stirs your heart as much as it stirs mine, and just an eye opener, like the compassion that God has for us. Right? His plan is still moving forward. He says, well, I hear someone crying for me. And so Jesus, hearing the cry of Bartimaeus, you know, the crowds with him, everything's going in this one direction, and he knows Jesus is like, okay, well, I'm ready about to do my Father's will. It's getting close to this time. He has all these things in his mind, and he stops, And he says, I want him to come to me. Bring him to me. And so they bring Bartimaeus to him. And so here's Bartimaeus. And so he's brought before the Son of David, the Christ, the Messiah. And he says, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Right? He already knows. But he wants Bartimaeus to say it. He wants Bartimaeus to reveal the things of his heart. And God wants us to do the same thing. Just to pour our hearts out to him. And say, you know, what is it that is bothering you? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you're asking? You know, God is wants to be involved in the big things in our life. And he wants to be involved in the little things of our life. He wants to have that one-on-one communion with each other, that dialogue with each other. He says, well, so what is it you want me to do? Right? And it doesn't mean that, you know, well, I want $1 million. It doesn't mean it's going to happen like that, right? God is about doing things according to his will and not ours, right? But he asked Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do? And so Bartimaeus says this to him. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That's the desire of his heart. I don't care about money. I don't want any clothes. I want my sight. That's what I want. But not only does Bartimaeus is saying something here in saying Lord, another title here that he's getting at that the other people were still missing. Now he doesn't call him the Son of David, but he says, Lord, I want my sight. I want to see again. And you think about all the times you read through scriptures of Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the tax collectors and talking to even to his own disciples. Lord is not used. Now, the disciples, maybe at times. But here he meets this guy the first time and he says, Lord. Because he understands who he is. Bartimaeus has a great understanding of who he is standing in front of. That he is the Lord of Lords. That he is the King of Kings. That he is the one who was sent from the Heavenly Father above. So he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Pharisees never called him Lord before. Sadducees never called Jesus Lord before. All they did was just try and argue with him. And so he says, I want that I would receive my sight. And so immediately, Jesus says to him, receive your sight, and he receives it. Right? There's no hesitations with God. When he wants something done, it happens. Immediately, he received his sight. And so, from that point on, it says that he received his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God to all the people. When they saw this happen, they gave praise. They gave praise to God. Not only was Bartimaeus giving praise, but the people were giving praise. Like, look at what just happened. But we go to Mark, the account in Mark. And I guess we don't really have to turn there. But the account in Mark, it says that when he came to Jesus, he was wearing a cloak, and it says he cast off his cloak. To Bartimaeus, that cloak was really his world. That cloak that he casted off, that's accounted in Mark, it's the piece of clothing, right? Something he wore over his shoulders. But that piece of cloak meant a lot to him. And that cloak was used for him to be used as a pillow at night, right? It would keep him warm as a blanket. That cloak could be used. He could hang it over his head as shade from the sun. That cloak was his world. And when he came to Jesus, he casted it off. He left everything that he once knew and once had all behind to come to the one who had it all. And so as we learn about Bartimaeus, he's an amazing man because in his blindness, he saw more than anybody else did. Regarded the Lord Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah, the Christ. And it says, and then after that, after received his sight, he followed him. Now the Greek word on this is interesting. It's shared by many of the Gospels, followed. But there's also another, another added definition to this. And that Bartimaeus followed Christ. Well, he wasn't just that he physically followed him after he was healed. He walked with the crowd. But there's also another word that says he continually followed him. And as we read Luke's account, I'm under the impression, and I've heard this written by some other commentaries and writers, and I think this could be true here, is that when Luke writes him, Bartimaeus may have still been known, or that name was known. And that not only did he follow Jesus after he was healed, but he continually followed him as a disciple, as that he walked with the Lord. He never walked away. We never read about the other guy. Right? He followed him too. But it says here that for some reason, Bartimaeus' name is in the scriptures. And I wonder if God was giving us a little more insight to Bartimaeus, that this is the one that stuck with me. Right? There's times we read in the scriptures when the Lord healed 10 lepers. And he said, well, where's the other ones? Wasn't there 9 other? Right? And only one came back? This is the one that's come back and continue to walk with him. That's the type of guy that Bartimaeus was. Peter had the same thing. Peter, when he was fishing, the Lord Jesus now has already been resurrected and he had some appearances. And then Peter decides, I'm going back to fishing. So he goes back on the boat, and there the Lord Jesus shows up on the shore. He says, hey, catch any fish yet? No, nothing. Well, why don't you cast your net back on the other side? I mean, it's the same thing how they first met. And he puts it on the other side, and they're the one the Lord Jesus, whom he loved, said to Peter, that's the Lord. And what does Peter do? He puts on his shirt, or puts on his garment, he jumps off the boat, and he goes to the shore. And say, well, it's a little bit different than Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus threw off his cloak. And here Peter's putting on a shirt, you know, maybe I could say on his cloak or whatever. It is different, but what Peter was leaving behind was that fishing boat. Now he was really become a fisher of men, like Jesus said he was going to make him. His life was fishing, and that boat was the connection to that. And Peter said, no, I'm not even going to use the boat to get back on shore. I'm jumping off this thing. I'm leaving it all behind. And so I think the challenge for us is too is in our dedication to the Lord that we would leave things behind of this world. Because the world, you know, it has some fancy things and it looks pretty and everything, but it always does come up short. The Lord never does. And so as we look at the transformation of Bartimaeus, looking at his situation, the things that he went through, looking at his determination, and now his dedication, let's look at how that can apply to us as we live for Christ today, applying these things to our lives, because we also know that he is the Son of David. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, I pray this morning that you would come to him. He says that he desires that all men would come to him. I pray that you would accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior here this morning, because he's the one who died for you, who paid that price at the cross and rose again that you too may live forevermore. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your word as it told us the story of this man Bartimaeus, the one who was blind, but now he had sight. But not only did he have physical sight, but also had sight in the one of who your Son is, the great one, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who came, the Prince of Peace that would die on a cross for our sins. He knew that Bartimaeus knew that he could come to him not only for physical healing, but for spiritual. And we pray that, Lord, that the lessons that we have read and learned here this morning from this man, that we could take something out of it and apply it to our own lives, that we would be more dedicated to you as well. And for anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus, their Savior, I pray that they too, right now, would trust in you. Again, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and we just pray that you continue to bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
a good message. Huh? That's very good. That was great.
Mark 10 talks about Bartimaeus.
Well, how do you